I am so glad that you all are here today. This is my favorite service of the year, Flower Communion. Did you notice all these beautiful flowers? I can't believe it. There's so many kinds and colors. Every June, our church family celebrates Flower Communion because of one very special man whose name was Norbert Chopik, a minister of a Unitarian church in Czechoslovakia, a country far away on the other side of the ocean. In Czechoslovakia, there are huge fields of wildflowers. There are red and purple and blue and yellow and green flowers. And they're all different shapes and sizes. And they all bob in the same wind, and they all grow in the same field. These flowers reminded Norbert of all the people in his congregation. They were all so different. Some were very tall, and some were very short. Some thought that being kind to the earth was the most important thing you could do, and other people thought that helping poor people was the most important thing you could do. Some were young, and some were old, and most were somewhere in between. But what made Norbert's church really different was that some people believed in God, and some didn't. Some thought the Bible was really important, and some people thought it was more important to live a good, moral, helpful life. Norbert wanted a way to show that even though his church family believed different things, they still all belonged together. That even though they didn't think alike, they could still be one community. Norbert asked all the people in his church to bring in a flower from their garden or from a field they passed on the way to church or even from the grocery store. He had two children collect all the flowers in one big vase, and then he told everybody that the flowers represented how they were all different, yet they all worshiped in community together. He explained that being different didn't mean they couldn't be one church family. Sometimes I think about all the Unitarian Universalist churches in our world, over 1,000 churches all over this planet. In some churches, people speak French or Spanish or Portuguese. Some UU churches meet in buildings like this, and some churches meet in people's homes, and some meet in restaurants, and some meet in libraries. In some churches, there's lots of singing, and in some churches, people dance almost the whole time. Some churches have 4 ministers, and some don't have any minister at all. There are Unitarian Universalist churches in the following countries: Argentina, Australia, Bolivia, Brazil, Burundi, Canada, the Congo, in Cuba, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Great Britain, Hong Kong, Hungary, India, Indonesia, Italy, Japan, Kenya, Mexico, New Zealand. See the chalice? I love that. You can see the chalice on the front of their building. Nigeria, Norway, the Philippines, Romania, Poland, South Africa. The caption for this one said, "We're enjoying a hymn sing and a little wine." Switzerland, this is Switzerland, and Uganda. Sometimes I feel like, wow, There are Unitarian Universalist churches everywhere. Unitarian Universalism is so big. What could I possibly have in common with people in Bolivia, in Uganda, in Nigeria, in New Zealand? If I got to meet these fellow Unitarian Universalists, would we have anything to talk about? But then I remember Norbert's flower communion. We all are different flowers. We have different colors and different shapes. And we believe lots of different things about the holy. But I'm really proud that my free faith tradition, my Unitarian Universalism, is all over the world. UUs are creating justice and telling people they have inherent worth and dignity on 5 continents. In all of these congregations, people believe that searching for the answers of life's questions in community is more important than telling people what to believe. And we all believe that making the world a better place is the most important way we can live out our faith. Norbert Topic died in the Dachau concentration camp during World War II, but his wife Maya, also a Unitarian minister, brought flower communion to the United States. Today, in countries all over the world, Unitarian Universalists are gathering flowers just like we are to remind them of our unity and diversity. Later this morning, we will celebrate our own flower communion. But for now, let's hold Norbert and Maya in our hearts as we stand and sing together, All Creatures of Our Earth and Sky.
Today is Father's Day. We honor the fathers in the room. Those with stars on, please stand and receive our thanks for your wonderful work in the world. Father's Day. When my daughter Charlotte was born, her mother was in labor for 12 hours, and as many of us have experienced, this is a generation where we have been able to be there and be present. I don't know if I was all that much good, but we had practiced the breathing and the Lamaze technique, and we breathed, and I was present as supportive as possible. Maybe one of the best things I did was when my daughter was born, I asked the nurses to stop coming in and checking her every hour. I said, just let her sleep and let her have a good meal. But when Charlotte came into the world, it was really the most miraculous thing, because I was quite sure that I knew this person, you know, that I knew this child. The next several years were the most blessed in my entire life. Mary worked early in the morning and came home at 1 o'clock, and I had charge of our baby daughter until 1 o'clock. And so I would feed her and change her diapers and be in the bath with her and comb her hair. And at some point, I would just get bored, and I would throw the stroller in the back of my old Chevy Love pickup truck that just barely ran. And this was not a really cool jogging stroller that you have today. This was the most rickety thing with these hard little rubber wheels on it. I would put on my my roller skates, and we would go to Green Lake, and I would skate around the whole lake with her in the coldest or the rainiest weather. She would be all bundled up, and we would move. We would take off. And I got so I could stop by kind of doing a 180-degree pivot with the stroller and breaking on my roller skates. And the thing that gave me the greatest joy was to see if she would laugh at something. So I'd park the stroller, and I would come skating, and I was actually pretty good on those skates, and I could jump up in the air and do a little twist and come down facing the opposite direction. She would just smile and laugh at that. It was very entertaining. that's all I really wanted to do was entertain her. We would go down to the geese, and oh my God, those geese were, you know, like dragons. You know, they were huge creatures. And even today, when we walk around the lake, she remembers those geese that I kind of kept away from her as we fed her. Imagine a father, young father, cross-country skiing with his precious daughter. I hooked up a little sled, and I was kind of the horse, you know, and I would ski, and I would be pulling that sled, and every once in a while, I just couldn't pull anymore, and I'd look back, and the whole thing had just fallen right over. And I would just go and, you know, put her back in the sled, and now, Mary, my wife at the time, was quite happy to see her husband and daughter just on the move and just out in the world. We would always go out into nature. I became the most sincere animist because I felt like everything in nature was celebrating this wonderful daughter of mine. The flock of geese overhead, the chipmunks chattering in the woods, were all conversations. They were all blessings for her life. I said, reach out to me. Because it is difficult to say these things. And more than anything that has happened in my life, that daughter taught me about myself and my deeper feelings. We had a lot of adventures together. We would sit in the bath, I would give her a bath, and I would make up these songs. And I remember talking to Lorraine Bays at the time, who was with us here tonight, and she was composing songs for children with Tickle Toon Typhoon. And I had these songs that just came every single day. I'd say, here's the baby's back, such a strong back. She'll live to be 100 like her great-grandma. Here's the baby's hand. It fits within my hand. What a time. The joy of raising a child. And we were a good team. It wasn't all me. There was no more blessed moment for me than when I would come into bed and see my daughter being nursed. Later, I took her to Peru, to Machu Picchu. I took her to see the Sistine Chapel and the Pieta and the David and Firenze. I took her to Ireland, where my ancestors came from. We went everywhere. Now beware, fathers, if you do this, your child might venture a long way away from home, which she certainly has since. She has traveled and lived in Brazil and the Dominican Republic and is now in Washington, D.C., there's something, a phenomena, I think, that happens for fathers today. Now, we are living in the wake of 2,000 years, maybe 4,000 years of patriarchy that has been very hard on women. But let the fathers today be a new generation of men that are sensitive, who are caring about their children, who are hands-on. And those fathers would gladly lay down their life for their children and use their last breath, if needed, to care for their kids. I have had the joy of having the time to direct this wonderful choir. Now, my daughter, when I was directing choirs when she was young, would come and sit at my feet, and I would lay out a blanket for her, and she would just be in the midst of all this singing. And we now have Brandon in the choir, and he brings Allison with him. Now, if there was any question about whether that two-year-old belongs in a choir rehearsal, let it forever be said that the child belongs there, because she roams all over the place. She probably gets more use out of Cal's ramp than anybody else. And I'm sure she will grow up to be quite a good singer, and that's where the kids belong with us. So thank you for letting me share these reflections on Father's Day. My daughter is almost 28 now. She still calls me and asks me about all sorts of things. And no finer moment does a father have when he thinks that some wisdom or some experience that he has lived can help his child. If there's any question about creating a new building or a tree house or a bigger church for the next generation, it can happen. The kids are here. Their inspiration is larger than anything. Happy Father's Day to you all.